Wow. Am I walking straight? My. I feel like I'm walking kind of crooked, you know. But that's good. Can I have my, my bottle? Baby needs his bottle. I'm good, thanks. That was pretty good, wasn't it? I mean, I think the Lord deserves a big hand for that. That's crazy, man. You know, you just don't want to mess a meeting like this up, you know. It's like the Spirit of God. How many really felt a touch from the Holy Spirit during that time? You know, and you got to thank Him for it, you know, because when you say thank you, He'll give you more. And I don't know about you, but I was so dry and thirsty and desperate that, man, it was like the first song, you know, you started singing and then it was all like, you know, the new song, man. It was all that prophetic thing that starts. There's a sound. And during that worship, I just got to mark some of this stuff because you got to recognize it. There was a sound that I heard in Toronto, you know, that sound of revival. And I'm not joking about this. And I'm not trying to compare, you know, different styles. But there was a sound of heaven that was coming. And I start to look at all the guys playing the instruments and I go, well, you know, I don't think it's coming from there. And I'm listening. I'm saying, well, you know, John's got that organ over there, and that sounds pretty good. And, of course, Lynn is great. And I'm checking around. But there's something that's an intangible. It's the anointing of God. Right. And it's when you recognize, oh, wait a second here. There's a thing called symphonio, which is, you know, translated unity or one accord even. And when that happens, it's not just, you know, a natural harmonization, but it's getting agreement with heaven. Amen. And that's what God's doing. He's tuning our spirits to what He really wants to do. And last night, you know, we preached about an open heaven. Well, tonight, we really experienced that. Can somebody say amen to that? And that's something, you see, the reason why I kind of teach about the anointing and recognizing His presence is that we have to go ahead and reverence it and esteem it highly. And, you know, sometimes some folks might not be receiving as much as others. They might not, you know, be sensitive to it at this point. But as we grow and as we mature in the things of God, we're supposed to be, you know, like more yielded, you know, to His presence and be willing to obey the anointing of God. How many follow what I'm saying? Okay. And it's a process that we learn, and you have to almost like practice functioning in God's presence. And that's why there's diversity of gifts and there's different manifestations and administrations of the gifts of the Spirit. And when Pastor John was just talking about everybody's got like something to give, well, the biggest thing that you can possibly give is not just your heart, but your worship to the Lord. Because that's practice for heaven. Because that's what we're going to be doing 24/7. I mean, to be, amen, in the presence of God. And there's a time where all of a sudden time stands still. And the clock just seems like, you know, you move into eternity and you're just gone. That's right. I mean, you're just like, it doesn't matter. I've been in meetings during the renewal where we had a guest preacher come in and he preached for 3 hours. Yeah. I'd say in 3 hours. And I didn't see one kid move. I didn't see anybody get up to go to the bathroom. I mean, it was the anointing of God, the presence of God, you know. And I mean, I thought that was one of the most unusual anointings I've ever seen. But people were so hungry for the word, and the presence and the worship was great. But people were so hungry, and this guy had such a gift, apostolic gift, to impart that he was able to capture people's attention. And basically, he was just pouring directly into their spirits. And I'll never forget, you know, we had two different meetings. He came and preached almost, well, 2.5 hours the next night. And it was amazing. So so tonight, I'm only going to preach for 3 hours. And we're going to see if it's really, no, we're not going to do that. Yeah, we'll test. We'll see. We'll see what how good these chairs are, you know, if your seat of learning can take it. I just want to thank you for the opportunity being here. Me and my wife are thankful. Gives us a little bit of a break from, you know, the routine of pastoring a work. It's good to get out of the house and fellowship with other Christians and see friends like, you know, Gene and what's his face? Yeah, Landon. It's good to see, you know, Vincenzo. You know, Dildari. Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. I knew him when he was Dodi, but, you know, yeah. Now, you know, he's got a fancier name. I know, I like it. It's a nicer name. It makes me hungry for spaghetti. You know? We speak fluent Italian back and forth. Spumoni. Lasagna. Yeah, mozzarella. Come on, you can join in. Go ahead, Landon. You know, he knows all these. A Parmesan. So, yeah. Once we get run out of food, we can't, you know, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Keep it going. Asta spumante. There you go. Come on. Don't. Fettuccine. Linguini. Ha-ha. Who's getting hungry, right? All right. I know what I'm going to do. I don't know why I'm going to do this. But, Landon, would you come up here? Just read this. Could you just read this out loud? Okay.
No, just kidding.
Can you read it?
Today was the absolute worst day ever. And don't try to convince me that there's something good in every day, because when you take a closer look, the world is a pretty evil place. Even if some goodness does shine through once in a while, satisfaction and happiness don't last. And it's not true. It's all in the mind and heart, because true happiness can be obtained only if one's surroundings are good. It's not true that good exists. I'm sure you can agree that the reality creates my attitude. It's all beyond my control. And you'll never in a million years hear me say that today was a good day.
Boy, what a bummer, right? Gene, would you please read this? But I want you to start from the bottom.
All right. Today was a good day, and you'll never in a million years hear me say that it's all beyond my control. My attitude creates the reality. I'm sure you can agree that it's not true that good exists only if one's surroundings are good. True happiness can be obtained because it's all in the mind and heart. And it's not true that satisfaction and happiness don't last. Some goodness does shine through once in a while, even if this world is a pretty evil place. Because when you take a closer look, there's something good in every day. And don't try to convince me that today was the absolute worst day ever.
Wow. What a difference. You know, I like the way Jean read it better. You know, she had a woman's touch to it. But I guess the point of that little exercise, it's, you know, how are you reading things? And all she did, you know, Landon read it one way, and then she just read it reversed. And, you know, we're here to reverse the curse. Do you realize that? And that's what we're here for. And, you know, you've heard, you know, when you get lemons, make lemonade. And there's, you know, there's a silver lining in every cloud and all the rest. And there's a basic truth to that. There really is. It's, you know, how are you going to receive it? How does it line up with God's word? And, you know, we're not to be walking by our feelings, but we're to be walking by our faith and what we believe according to the word of God. Emotions rise and emotions fall, you know. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the kingdom of God. And I'm going to, you're going to have to listen really fast, because I'm going to preach fast, okay? So you got to be able to catch it. And turn with me just to Matthew. And I had a pair of glasses in that in my pocket in there. I'm going to probably need them. But in the book of Matthew chapter 5, this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has just chosen his disciples. And, you know, they're, you know, following him up. And he goes up onto this mountain. And it says, one day as the crowds were gathering, Jesus went up the mountainside. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. So yours might, you know, if you're King James, the New King James might be a little different. We're gathering. Jesus went up the mountainside with his disciples and sat down to teach them. Now, one of the basics we learned in Bible school, whenever you hear, you know, going up a mountain is a place of impartation, a place of revelation. When you read in the Bible, going down, whether Old or New Testament, you're going down the mountain, it's a place of testing or proving, you know, that which was imparted on top of the mountain. And you can just check that out. That's like basic Bible 101. And so Jesus goes, and it says, and he sat down to teach them. Now, that's a significant thing. He sat down to teach them. Why? Because that was like taking his place as the king in his kingdom. And here's all these disciples gathered around this mountainside. And now he's opening his mouth. He says, and he opened his mouth and he taught them. And when he did, that you're going to get that closer in the King James, but the word there, when he opened his mouth, or you know, opened up to them, that was the word is stoma in the Greek, and what that means, from his innermost being, he gushed and he imparted out. So here's the king in his kingdom with his disciples, and this is really the declaration of independence from the law, and as we read through these, this is like a pattern basically for the kingdom. The first four, Beatitudes that we're going to cover here have to do with an inward work, okay, God doing an inward work. And then the last three and then onward would have to do more with an outward work or how we relate to other people. So let's just start in the first one. It says, God blesses those who realize their need for him. In the King James, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, right? Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that word poor is tokos, but it means beat down. And it has to do with recognizing your need. And that's the first place, you know, that you come to. You're going to have to recognize your need. No matter how much money you have or how your life is going, the first part is, you know, are you broken enough to come to me? And so the first step here is recognition. Blessed is the poor, seeing your need. And then you go on to blessed are those that mourn, okay? And it says to them, they shall be comforted. Now, we've quoted that many times. But that mourning is a real remorse, you know, not only of your situation, but, you know, of not being able to even help yourself. Has anybody ever been there? That you've got to that place to where, like, you know, hey, I'm done. And God brings you to that place, and that's a kingdom principle. So here you are there mourning, okay? That's the second part. So you recognize your mourning. It has to do with, remorse, has to do with, getting to a place of repentance. But the promise here is that you'll be comforted. We get to the third one. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall be what? Right. They'll inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. What does that mean? Coming underneath. Meekness is not weakness, but meekness means submitting yourself to somebody or something. Coming under the direction of someone else. So here's this process. All right. First, I recognize my need. Now I'm, you know, just so broken over this thing. I'm mourning because I can't even help myself. But I'm willing to come under the government of God. I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to give it up. And the last part as we get up to this step is, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. And this is no longer us trying to be righteous, but we're hungry and thirsty to get right with God, to be in right standing. And this process is like recognizing your need and mourning, and then I'm willing to submit. I'm done. I surrender. You got me, Lord. And then you come to that place where I'm hungry and thirsty to do the right thing. Lord, just give me, you know, give me what I should do here. Help me out in this thing. And that's the process of salvation. We get to the next step. And it says, blessed are the merciful, for they'll obtain what? Mercy. That speaks of what? Forgiveness. And you see, here, the hook, when we, you know, we do the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven and all, and we go through it. But he goes, but if you don't forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And that is like, wow. Unforgiveness has no place in the kingdom of God. Revenge has no place in the kingdom of God. Anytime we're done wrong and there's things that happen to us that aren't right, has that ever been betrayed? I mean, you know, whatever has gone down. We have the responsibility to forgive them as Jesus forgave us. So here we are. We're on the road to salvation. And that's not an easy thing to do. There's process. But once you get to that place where I am, you know, forgiven and I'm forgiving everybody, I don't have aught. It says then, okay, blessed are the pure in heart, right? For they shall see what? They'll see God. You know, when we're in right standing, we can actually see a clearer picture of who Jesus is. And a spirit of truth and revelation working in us. And it's awesome. Now, ladies, I know some of you put makeup on occasionally. And I'm sure that when you're putting makeup on, you turn those lights pretty bright to see all the impurities and where you got to cover up. Is that right? Anybody? No? Okay. Well, men, when we're shaving, you know what I mean? Want to get all those hairs. You turn the lights up real bright. Well, the Lord is what? Light. And when you're coming in to the presence of God and you see you're that place to where you're the, and you see how great Jesus is, guess what? You're going to see all the little impurities, all the little things that, man, you know, I've gone this far, but I just can't get rid of this or I can't get rid of that. Has anybody been there? They've almost hit the wall. They've hit a spiritual, you know, stopping place. Not that they want to. But it's because, hey, they've just that's as far as the process of salvation goes. Now, let me stop here. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, to as many as believed on his name, he gave them what? Authority or the right to do what? To become. Somebody say become. To become the sons of God. That means you're becoming something. There's a change going on. You're becoming. This is a process of the kingdom. And so I am growing. Now, a baby grows at one level. And if you, all the steps, another teaching, you know, little child is technon. And as you go up, there's different names, you know, for the sons as they grow. But to get to the place of weos, see, that's, or the mature son, which was Jesus. We get to the place in Romans chapter 8 where it says those that are led by the Spirit, they are the what? The huios of God, the sons of God. And so we want to learn to be led by the Holy Ghost, to learn the anointing, okay, and then to be able to respond to the anointing of God. Now, we start to see all the impurities and all the junk. And, man, all of a sudden, I recognize my need. Guess what? You go back to blessed are the poor in spirit. You go right back down that little scale, and that inward work has to start all over again. And you recognize, I have how many of you need Jesus more today or think you need him more today than the day you got saved? I mean, and it's not just, you know, the saving power of Jesus, but it's the keeping power of Jesus. That Jesus can keep you right with him. Why? Because our righteousness is not based on my performance. My righteousness now is in Christ. He is my righteousness, and I put that righteousness on. And when all of a sudden I sin or I make a terrific blunder, I let my emotions rule, I see my need again. Lord, I'm repenting of this situation, and I want to submit to this, you know, this government. And I'm hungry again for your righteousness. I want to be right standing with you. And then the next step is, okay, I messed up. I need forgiveness, but maybe I got to ask forgiveness from somebody else. Maybe I got to go make something right. Hallelujah. So my heart again would be pure and going after seeking God. Now, in this tumbling process, as you're going through and all this process, well, we get to the place, because where you want to be, it said, blessed are the peacemakers, right? For they shall be called the what? The sons of God. Now, that peacemaker there, it's not just the absence of war or conflict, but it's being able to bring the manifest presence of God, to carry the anointing of God into the midst of chaos and produce kingdom life. Somebody say amen. Now, that's where we're growing too. And I saw a great example of that today at the Daily Grind. A great example. Well, you know, Dan and what's his name? John, Pastor John. We were all sitting around and talking. And some customer got a little irate about a situation. And, you know, there was chaos in the place. Well, you know, Dan went in there and John went in there. And you know what? And there's all these other people around. Now, I was keeping an eye on things, and I was watching. But you know what? The people didn't get all stirred up, because they brought the manifest presence. We prayed. We, you know, tried to bind the hand of the enemy and all. But the presence of God, you know, diffused that situation. All right? And we're supposed to be able to do that. Now, I'm not saying it all stopped instantly, but you held your peace and brought peace into the place. Somebody follow what I'm saying? We have to have that attitude that wherever we go, we bring the kingdom, and that we live at a higher standard. And we don't have to tolerate, you know, whatever the devil's doing. But we're there. And I mean, I had a guy at Bible school. His name was Greg Gunnels. And, you know, he was a great guy. He wasn't, you know, super spiritual. In any way, shape, or form. He was just a, you know, naturally good guy. And but he had the ability, if he walked into a room and there was something foul going on, he could diffuse it just by, hey, what's going on here? You know, and just smiling and change the whole temperature of the room. Amen. You see, we're not called to be thermometers, but thermostats. To raise the temperature or bring that balance. And that's who we're supposed to be able to, you know, bring that peace of God that we carry and be able to release that, amen, in the midst of chaos. Now, all you moms, I know you're able to do that with your kids. My mama, I mean, she had a way of doing it. I'll tell you what, when all heck was breaking loose, she'd come in and whack. I mean, just as soon as she'd come in, man, everybody, and it would stop. It would stop. And she carried a certain amount of spiritual authority. Now, same with you. Come on, you recognize, you know, your kids were up to something when you were a little kid. Your dad came, come into the room, everything stopped. Why? Because you didn't want to get it. You know, you didn't want to get it. Or you didn't want to hear it. But that is, in a very natural way, a form of spiritual authority, okay, because of the position that parents have in the home. Parents have in the home. And so, in a very real way, when we know our place in the kingdom of God and recognize who we are and the anointing that we carry, okay, then, you know, there's a certain standard that, you know, we can maintain in our relationships round about us. Hallelujah. Sometimes things will break out, and it doesn't mean you have to respond or react to every situation that you see. But you can just, especially if it's demonic, you know, but you can just, because a lot of times it's just natural flesh flying around, you know. But, you know, if there is a demonic thing that's occurring, you can very quietly bind the enemy, you know, and just wait on God and just do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And it's much easier that way than getting in the middle of a fray that you really don't know to be in. I know Landon knows what I'm talking about. And I certainly know what I'm talking about, because I've messed up more than one time, you know. So here we are. We've gotten to be peacemakers now. We've grown. We've matured. And even in that process, we're going to learn some tough lessons. And when we get there, now this is the best part of the Beatitudes, the very best part. Everybody likes to recite these parts because, you know, the inheriting the earth and the kingdom and all. That's so wonderful. But as it starts with blessed are the poor, they'll inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know, he kind of finishes this with, you know, blessed are you when you're persecuted because you're living for God, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Wow. In other words, I'm blessed if I'm poor, but when I get to this other place, okay, at the end, you see, that's what you're going to get once you're a son. Persecuted. Amen. Persecuted. You're going to get people talking bad about you. How it's a, why else would it be in the Bible? That, you know, those little bread boxes with Bible promises? I've never seen anybody claim one of those. I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want to go through that thing. But you see, it's part of the process where you're going to be tested, where your faith is going to be tested, where your faith is going to be tried. And life, just life itself, is going to throw you some curveballs that aren't, somebody say, not fair. Just not right, not fair. And you know what? There's sometimes where you're not going to be able to do anything about it. Right. Not anything about it. And God's going to test your heart to see, are you going to forgive? Yeah. Are you going to pray for that person? Yeah. You know, pray for those that you know, despitefully use you, and, you know, pray for your enemies and all that. Are you going to do that? Or are you going to go ahead and have a flesh flash and get deeper in the stuff? Do you follow what I'm saying? All right. And so I'm putting this out here because in this hour, I really believe that God, it's not like a promotion or anything, but a greater revelation in the body to where we recognize who we are, but more who we're supposed to become and what we're supposed, how we're supposed to be operating and how we're supposed to be functioning. And the cool part is if you'll yield to the process, and you'll say, Lord, I'm available, you know, for this kind of training. Well, guess what's going to happen? He's going to take you up on that. And in that process, he's going to start to bless you and reward you. Now, I got to get to that word blessing, and forgive me, I should have started out with that. That word blessing is not, I know some translations say, happy is he. But happy is about happenstance or about your situation. If I hit the lottery, I'm going to be really happy. You know what I mean? I get a new car, I'm happy. Landon got a brand new custom guitar, he's happy, you know? But the thing is that that's a material type of happiness. That word there, blessed, the word is Makarios in the Greek, Makarios. And Makarios was an island off of Cyprus where the Greeks, and according to their, you know, mythology or whatever, that was a place where the gods would play. It was a paradise. And that's where all the Greek gods and Olympus and all, they'd all, whatever, they'd all hang out there and eat. And the only way that you could feel that kind of joy or that is that you'd have to be God. It's called like a godlike joy. And in reality, that blessedness is a condition of the Christian. We are blessed. Why? Because we can have that godlike joy. How many felt the godlike joy tonight when we were in his presence? I mean, and it's not, I mean, thank God for holy laughter and getting, you know, drunk on new wine. I've been there and I love it and all that. But there is this joy, this satisfaction of knowing who you are in Christ and God blessing you. And sometimes it's the little blessings, you know, not the big ones, but the little, I call them daddy kisses. The little kisses your daddy does because, you know, you have a need and you're asking and you're, and you know, that little thing happens. That little, and it's important as Christians that we recognize the little things. The little things. We need to thank him for prayers answered. So many times we have memorial prayers and we're praying for this one and praying for that one and this guy get healed or whatever. And you know, before, yes, God answers those prayers, but we're, you know, praying on the next things on our list down the road without really ever properly thanking him. Amen. For all that he's already done for us. Amen. So being thankful and appreciative is a real key in your relationship with the Lord. And so, I mean, I'm probably reminding you of all this stuff, but yeah, I mean, you know, you probably already know it, but my point is that, and what I felt to release, you know, tonight in his presence is, you know, God's looking for those that want to go on to maturity. that want to go on. And it's not just about me getting blessed, but that I might, my life might be a blessing to others. It's not about how much I can accumulate, but how much can I give? How much can I possibly give to other people? When Brother John was getting ready to receive the offering, I told Landon, I want to give $100,000 this year. Yep. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Don't you know what kind of miracle God would have to do for me to give $100,000? I mean, I don't have, you know what I'm saying? I don't have that kind of money. But I mean, I'd sure like to be able to give $100,000. How about you? How many people would like to tithe 10 grand next year or 20 grand next year? You know, but you see, you got to put your faith there that, wait a second, I want to be able to give big money. Well, you're never going to give big money, you know, unless you get big money. And you got to start right where you're at. Hello. That's another principle called sowing and reaping. And it's a good one, too. It really is. It's a kingdom principle. So at any rate, this sonship thing is all based on God's love. It goes on. It says, God blesses you when you're mocked and persecuted and lied about because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted too. And then Jesus goes into the similitudes. And then he actually starts to teach about grace going beyond the law. That he's come, you know, to not only fulfill the law, but seeing as he's fulfilled the law, now it's going to go beyond whatever the law is. And yeah, it's all about, you know, your heart. And it's all about, like, you know, not just doing the right thing, but doing the right thing for the right reason. And that right reason is because of love. Amen. And that you're not the first commandment or the greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, thy strength. And then love thy neighbor as thyself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And so, you know, whatever your theology is or whatever teaching you get, you know, does it make me love God more? Does it make me love my neighbor more? You know, can I actually put that into practice? It's not so much about a lot of head knowledge, but it's really about a lot of heart knowledge. Some of the most spiritual people I know, I'm not going to say they're not very intelligent, but they weren't very good in school, and they might not have a very high IQ, but I'll tell you what, they're very spiritual in the sense that they hear when... We have a lady that's disabled. You might say she's, what do they call it, mentally challenged, you know. But when she gets a word from the Lord, I listen because I know she hears God. And it'll come right on to pass. And she's not telling me God said, you know, every other Sunday. It's few and far between. She goes, Pastor, I got to talk to you. I was praying. And the Lord said, and I listen. I mean, I said, wow, okay. You know, Linda, thank you. You know, and, you know, usually it's spot right on, you know, where it's speaking right to a situation. Anybody else know somebody like this? You know, these people come across you in your life. Recognize the anointing. Recognize who's speaking. You know, whether the pastor's got a word for you or a prophet. But it could be, believe it or not, I've had unsaved people give me a word. Come on, if a donkey can speak to a prophet, you know, hallelujah. But I've had unsaved people actually give me, I knew it was a word from the Lord. You know, it was right what I was praying about. And I mean, you know, this and that. And I said, okay, Lord, thank you for the answer, you know. You know, sometimes it seems hard to receive, you know, but it's recognizing being quickened, recognizing, you know, the anointing of God. God can use anybody. He can absolutely use anybody. But as Christians, you see, that's what we're supposed to do. Recognize when Christ is in our midst. Amen? All right, I think I'm done. Hallelujah. Well, let's do this. Can we just sing one chorus or song or something? Can we do that? And we'll just, how many want a little bit more of the Lord? Would you like that? Just a little more. I felt like we really had a touch. And as we're kind of worshiping, I'm just going to wait on God, and I'll probably give an altar call. But The thing is, as far as tonight, I really feel it's about availability. Are you available? Are you available to go? I don't hate to say all the way with the Lord, but would you make yourself available for training? And the trainer is going to be the Holy Ghost. I want to end this last scripture. Yeah, last night I said, you know, that 1 John 2:20 says that you've received an unction or an anointing from the Holy One. But if you go down to 1 John 2:27, the Bible says it's that same anointing that teaches you all things. And you don't need a man to teach you. But that same anointing teaches you all things and is truth, and there's no lie in it. Now, that doesn't mean we get rid of the fivefold ministry. But John's point is that it's, you know, there's the witness that lives within us. The teacher lives within us. The comforter lives within us. The healer works within us. You know, he lives in us. And Christ is alive inside us. And it's a matter of yielding, you know, to him in everyday life. Amen. So let's all stand and whatever chorus you all got, we'll worship. And then we'll just see what the Lord does. Does that sound okay? Amen.